Chris is the pastor of another congregation in town whose church is meeting this morning, and he came over here partly because he just wanted to bless what God is doing in us right now. But he also feels like the Lord's given him a specific word for us to affirm us at this place where we're at right now, this transition that we're at. And so it's no small thing that another pastor would come to another church in the morning and be involved in what they're doing. But that's just Chris's heart for us. And so this is Chris Davis, those of you who don't know him, from Abundant Life Nazarene.
Well, thanks. I do feel strongly about our relationship, and so here's a drive-by prophetic word. So when I give this, I'm going to leave, and you can test it, and you can work it out. It's not because I don't like y'all, but I have to preach in about half an hour at my place. So if you were around over, I think I shared this a little bit in September, but in June, when I was here for worship, I don't know if you remember, Garris Elkins came and he shared a word. He's kind of sharing how to get through transition and that kind of thing. But I was over here worshiping, and all of a sudden the Lord gave me a picture, as vivid as any I ever get, of a ladder, right about where. Hey Rick, can you do me a favor? Can you put this back so I can work properly. So right about here, there was a ladder hanging down, and all of a sudden, boom, this scripture came to mind. Thanks. See, that's the joy of relationship right there. I can just ask Rick, and Rick knows who I am. Even if I wasn't, he'd say yes, but he did it willingly. So the Lord said this to me. He said, John chapter 1, verse 49 to 51. All of a sudden, this reference came to me. And I've shared this already, but there's some things about it that I missed. So this is the scripture, John 1. It's Jesus talking to Nathanael. Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. It's referencing an earlier conversation. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So I saw that ladder, that scripture right there. And I knew instantly that evangel was in store for greater things. There's greater things coming. And I believe that has to do with this shift you're making. I know that it's challenging to meet in the morning. I saw Patrick on Facebook, got up at 6 in the morning. That's unusual for him. I go around the room. That's not normal. Mornings are hard. But you're doing something. You're shifting because the Lord called you to shift, not because you're doing it on your own. It wasn't someone's brilliant idea. It was the Lord had a heart for you to do something different. And he says he's going to do greater things through evangel. He's going to do greater things in you and through you and to the region. So I was praying this through on Thursday night in the prayer room, and it just struck me, and I believe it's from the Lord. There is, when we see that scripture, that's the angels descending and ascending. I fully believe it's also us rising into the courts of heaven and encountering the presence of the Lord in a new way. So it's not just angels coming down. It's you and I rising up. There's something about this house. And you steward this house that the house of prayer is in. So you have this thing attached to you. It's on your sign. It's a part of who you are. And you're going after this thing that will pour out into you. So what I'm saying to you is enter into it. Begin to understand that when you walk into this room, when you enter together as the body of Christ, you have an opportunity to enter into the courtroom. Enter into the throne room, the courts of heaven. You have that opportunity every time. It's our privilege as believers. It's our call. The Lord wants us to. I think you will do it. The Lord calls all of us to it. You will do it. You have this. There's an opening here. So that's a part of it, that you have this opportunity. But I was reviewing the word before I asked Jeff to come over, before I talked about it, and I realized in my notes I missed a piece I didn't share with you. And so when I was thinking about it, and when looking at my notes, on the top of the ladder, there was a lamp. And so I built you a ladder over there. It's over there. You can't see it. And I found a lamp. My wife and I were out because it had to be the right size. Anyway, so here's the lamp. I didn't quite know what to do with that for a while. But again, in the prayer room, there's things that happen here, really, that happen nowhere else in this region, in this building, because there's this plugging away here. There's this perseverance here. So I was over there, and it was a Thursday night again, and I was in the back, and I was coming back into the prayer room, and I stopped at the corner to kind of, you know, check things out, and I couldn't move. The Holy Spirit came upon me in such a profound way. It was pushing me down. I could have, but I didn't want to because the Spirit was present really strongly. And I began to pray, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? What's going on? And he showed me a picture of my heart. And he was cutting my heart open and pouring oil into it, the oil like from a lamp. And so he said, okay, what's that about? I mean, I get the Holy Spirit, the oil of your presence. I understand that. That's what you're doing. How do you cut my heart open? I get how you do that, but what are you saying? He says, it's the word. It's the word of God that cuts you open. And so I began, so this has to do with you. This has to do with who you are as a people, who you are as a body. The lamp is the word of God. That's the lamp. It cuts you open and exposes your heart. And that's a good thing. We're pretty reluctant to open our hearts to each other. We're reluctant to open our hearts to ourselves and to God. But if we allow the word to be real, if we allow the word to be what it is, if we allow it, here's what it says it does. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So here's what I felt like. The Lord is saying you have an opportunity to enter into my presence every time you gather, and for angels to enter into this place, which they do. I think we saw some. I didn't, but Diane did Thursday. I'm keep praying, Lord, open my eyes to see. So there's angelic presence. There's your opportunity to walk into the courts of heaven, and there's this opportunity to be alive with the word of God in a new way, in such a way that your heart is cut open in a good way. The oil of God's presence is poured into your heart, and you're lit on fire for him. And just a final piece. So there's a presence piece and a prophetic piece to evangel. All right, so your presence, without the word of God, you cannot operate in the spirit of prophecy. So I believe that the Lord is calling you to operate in his presence and to be a people who are prophetic in the region and to walk in that by being in the word of God. So can I pray that into you? Yeah, you'll receive that, right? I'm going to receive it with you because it's not just for evangel. It's for the region. Everything you do is for the region. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you. I thank you for your spirit of prophecy. Thank you for the way that you touch us and move us. Thank you for visions and revelation, dreams, all the ways that you work and still work, all the ways you reveal your heart for us. It's your heart. The spirit of testimony the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. It's your heart for us, the way you feel about us. So I get this, Father, that you feel very fondly about evangel. You love where they're at. You love that they're willing to make this huge, huge shift. It's monumental philosophically. It's monumentally big what they're doing, Father. And I pray you bless it. I pray you anoint it. I pray you give them great favor. I pray, Father, that they'll receive your word to walk in your presence. They'll receive your word to allow you to cut them open, to release the spirit of prophecy into the region. Father, they'll encounter things in your throne room, in your courts, that they will not encounter anywhere else, that the city needs, that I need, my church needs. And there are prophetic Singers, they're prophetic people that will be released by what happens here. So I pray over Jeff, I pray over the elders, pray over everyone involved in leadership, Father. And I pray for those who are walking in a new place, a new hour, a new season. I pray the season will be smooth. I pray the transition will be easy. That they'll do this morning thing and say, "Oh, I didn't know it could be like this." And they won't ever regret what you've called them to. Pray blessing and anointing on this house, Father. Do great things, greater things than ever before, we pray. In the great name of Jesus, amen. There you go, drive by from the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. Patrick, come on up.
I like this morning thing, actually. The Holy Spirit wakes up, too. I think that's kind of cool. It's really interesting. We've been real busy. I was looking at the news notes, and I was just kind of going through it. And we've been real busy since December as a body. And I was looking. We have Ecclesia School this Tuesday and Wednesday. If you're signed up, 5 o'clock on Tuesday, there'll be some refreshments and get together and know people. Tracy's done a wonderful job with Jeff and working, and so it's going to be a great thing. I will say thank you to Lisa and Tracy for the women's bathrooms. If you are a woman and haven't been in there yet, you will be amazed, because as a few guys walked in there, we were saying, "What are you going to do to the men's rooms?" And Lisa already said nothing, except throw a bomb in it, and that's about right. So if you are a woman, it looks great, you guys. Thanks for sprucing that up. And in the next coming weeks, we're going to have a kind of a spruce up, clean up party down here as well, just to kind of get the building, it's been tired for many years, so it just needs to be waking up. But anyway, we have Ecclesia this Tuesday, Wednesday. Then on Saturday, we have Guy Cohen from Israel coming to talk. And he'll be here 6 to 8 on Saturday. And then after that, there really isn't a whole lot going on. And when I was looking at this, it's like, time to rest. And it's time to rest for a little bit, to enter into this new season that we're into. This morning thing, I mean, even Nina comes and says, "I love mornings." And 6 o'clock was early. But I do like this morning thing. It's kind of cool. And it's going to be so exciting to watch what the Holy Spirit does. When this came up, and I can take some time here. When this came up and when we started praying into it, and just the stuff the Holy Spirit started revealing, it's clear to us as a leadership that we're hearing the Lord well. And just kind of seeing what's going on. And I think what Chris said this morning was really, I said this morning, not this evening. See, it's already working. But what Chris said this morning was really great. And so I'm really excited about that. So anyway, today, or was it yesterday? 24 years ago is when Evangel started. Today at 10 o'clock. So that was a long time ago. So it's real fitting that we're moving back to mornings, because that's when Evangel started, was 10 o'clock in the morning. So that's real great. In the news notes, there is an app called Seek God for the City that Jeff kind of put on here. It's 99 cents for those of you that have smartphones. Stupid phones don't get it. So you can actually go on there, and it's 40 days of prayer and city for the nation, which is really cool. So I highly recommend that as well. Other than that, kids, are you guys ready? Yeah, that's a yes. Kids, you can be released. And Jeff's going to come up and talk some more and kind of lead us. There are, as the kids are moving around, as we get set up, there are baskets up here for your tithes and offerings. You can bring those up at any point in time. Jeff.
Chris, why don't you come on back up? The worship team, come back up a little bit. Please. Obviously, there's a lot going on this morning if you've been here since 9 o'clock. And this could be a really long morning in some ways. if we weren't careful. So I didn't necessarily want to launch into a teaching knowing that that a lot of us would be tired and, you know, just a lot going on this morning. And the next teaching in this series that we're doing, this 10-week series on understanding the times, is a really important one, and I didn't want to hurry through it. And so what I thought we'd do is I thought we'd process what Chris brought this morning together, that we'd process it together. One of the things that we've learned over the years is that when God leads and directs his people prophetically, that it isn't just thrown out there and then whoever grabs it, but it's the best way to handle prophetic words is to handle them together, to walk through them together. So that's what we're going to do this morning. But I just thought we'd spend about 10 minutes now and just soak in worship and ask the Lord to soften our hearts, because we are way too busy in general. We're way too busy. And so when we come here, there's a tendency to hurry through the time that we have here together. And so we rush and we get here and we've got all the stuff that's going on in the car on the way over and our kids and our families. And this, you know, the reason why we're together is for him. It's because we've come here to be with him. We haven't really come here to be with each other. We get that as a kind of a side benefit. But the main reason why we're here is to be with the Lord. And so it just seems right that we should slow down a bit. Let him have access to our hearts. And then we'll just see what the Holy Spirit stirs up within us about the word that Chris gave, and we'll kind of walk through that together. But for the next 10 minutes or so, let's just spend some time before the Lord and let him minister to us and soften us. We truly look at the church as an organism that lives and breathes and changes. And you know, 24 years ago at Shekinah, on the first Sunday morning in February, we met as a congregation over there. And actually, I have a picture of that. Yeah. And they laid hands on me and Jody. And they had the people that felt like they were called to go and start this congregation come up, and they laid hands on us and they prayed for us and they just spoke over us who they felt God was calling us to be. Look at that beautiful little blonde there. Not Tracy. Jody. I know. And then they just embraced us and came up and hugged us and yeah, there's Wayne. It actually started at that point. Then next week we met in Union Hall down in Oregon Way, the IWA Union Hall, and we didn't really know who was going to be there or what it was going to look like, and it was really an adventure. A couple people said, "Well, we'll make sure that the kids are taken care of." Had no idea how many kids would be there. There ended up being like 25 kids. They're overwhelmed from day one. You know, we set up a sound system and did worship in this big room that was kind of cold and, you know, dank. But it was like our new home. That was 24 years ago. What's that? It did smell like beer. It always smelled like beer because they'd rent it out on Saturday nights and we'd come in on Sunday mornings. So, but it was home, and it was where we started, and we met there for probably almost a year, and then they decided they'd just soon have their party room back and said it'd probably be better if you found another place. And so I let the guys know that we're pastors, that we needed a place to stay. And three different churches offered to let us meet in their facility in the evening. And one of those we didn't know, so I got together with the elders, and this is just who they are, what they're like. And they just said, well, let's go to the place we don't know. Let's go hang out with the people we'd never met before. And so we went to Church of the Risen Savior, which is that building that's right next to Safeway over here on 15th Avenue. And we met there for a couple years. and in the evenings, and that was our first kind of taste of evenings. I don't know how we decided on 5 o'clock, but we did, and it just stuck. I think part of it was we thought, well, we'll just get our kids, because we all had kids. Jessica was a kid, a little one then. And we had just had our fifth child. We had 5 kids. Jody had 5 children. And we started the church 3 months after that. And so it was crazy. And it makes me have so little compassion for people who have children now. My own kids are having kids, and they're like complaining because it's so hard. And I'm thinking, hard? This is not even close to difficult. I'll show you difficult. Start a church when you have 5 children and they're all little tiny things. And I mean, so we drag all of our stuff in there every week, and we did classes for the kids, and we worshiped like crazy. And it wasn't like anything was wrong at Shekinah. We just thought this is a great adventure to be on. We weren't leaving anything that we were trying to get away from. We were going towards something that was an adventure. And so we did that for a couple years at Church of the Risen Savior. And then Larry Russell, who had started New Covenant a couple years earlier, had said, you know, I just need a break. Would you guys mind, your congregation mind? Oh, there's Brad. I don't know how he got there. Would you, I know, I'm trying. So, where was I at? Larry Russell came and said, will you join the two congregations, New Covenant and Evangel, together for a couple months and just give me a break? And I had no idea. I mean, I'd only been doing this for a couple years. I really didn't know anything. And so here we were with two congregations that met over on Commerce for a couple, what started out as a couple months ended up being about 4 or 5 months, because Larry was enjoying it so much. He just didn't want to come back. And so then they came back, and we met in the evenings there for a while. Then we had an opportunity to go over to First Christian Church, which was where Shekinah started, out of that church. So we met there for a year and came back, and we ended up, this building was available in 2000 or 1999, and so we talked them into letting us have this building to do outreach, musical outreaches from. That's why we originally got it. Mike Jewell was the one who was overseeing this building. I said, Mike, you got to let us have it. And he said, no, we already have plans for it. We're going to make it in. We're going to move our business in here and remodel. I go, no, you have to let us have it, because we need a place where we can recover the arts in the city and create a place for music. And he bought it. And so we bought it. We moved in, and the place had been a bingo hall that had been gone through embezzlement and all kinds of stuff for a couple years. It just didn't work out very well, and it had been closed up and full of smoke, and it was filthy in here. And so anybody who's complaining about the restrooms, you had to have been there when we first moved in. This is so much better than that. But I still agree that the bathrooms look great. Not that I spent a lot of time in the women's bathroom, but this morning I went in there just to see how they looked, and it was a much improved environment. So there's a challenge, I think, up for the guys now. So we need a couple elk heads. Wayne, Mike, and a pool table. So we're going to redecorate the men's bathrooms. No, so we moved in this place in about 2000, right before 2000, and we've been here ever since. And ever since we've been here, we felt like this is a building we stewarded, that we were to make available to other people. So it's always been an open door. This is the least busy this building has been since we moved in right now, just because Love Overwhelming is in their spot. Church of Truth just moved out. This last week was their last week, and so we're here in the mornings. I think Chris is right by God's design. That'd be awesome. I'd love one. Thank you. So this is Chris's word. Let's just spend a little time talking about the implications of what he shared this morning. Like I said, I don't want to hurry this morning. We don't have any reason to hurry. We don't have to get through anything. There's a lot that's been going on the last couple months. This week is going to be a very busy week. So let's just talk about what, thank you, Jeff. Let's just talk about what he said. There were two specific things that he talked about, the ladder and the oil. Let's just talk about the ladder at first. This comes out of actually an Old Testament scripture. Remember Jacob's ladder? That's an Old Testament prophetic revelation that Jacob had of a ladder, and he saw it being an entry into heaven. Anybody, Lisa, why don't you come up and share? You've thought about this a lot. Just your impressions of what that whole idea of that ladder means and how the access to heaven and how that works. And come on up. Yay. Let's all get involved. So just talk a little bit about the ladder and what that means in Scripture.
In Scripture, Jesus is actually the ladder. And he is the way that we actually get to ascend into the heavenlies. Because in him, we're hidden in Christ. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and he implanted his Spirit in you, then you are hidden in him. That's how it works. And in that place of being hidden in him, we can have the mind of Christ. And in his mind, he knows everything and he sees everything. And from that position of him being seated high and lofty above everything that ever was or ever will be, in that place of him being seated, he sees all that's going on, and he invites us, being hidden in him, to come into that place of being able to ascend into the heavenlies, because he's currently seated on the throne in heaven while he's still as God the Holy Spirit living in you. So he's walking on the face of the earth in you at the same time. And so you get to be in two realms at once, and that's what that ladder really means. That's that place. And it says that Jacob wrestled. It was a place where there was a wrestling that took place. And that's what happens, is we have to enter into that place ourselves, and we have to wrestle into that place that says, I will lay down what I'm going to do, and I'm going to enter into what you have instead. I'm going to enter into what you see over the circumstances and situations and what you're saying about things instead of what my flesh is saying right now. And there's this wrestling that takes place as we ascend. A lot of times we find ourselves starting to be held back a bit, because we're being held back because our flesh is saying, wait a minute, that isn't my history. That isn't how that happens. And that's the same thing that happened to Jacob. He had a history. And so because he had a history, there was a wrestling that took place. And the ladder literally represents a place where we can be with him, but we can actually see in that place, and we can see his angels, that his angel armies that he's released for the end times. We can see those who've gone before us, because there's people who are in eternity right now, in that place of heaven right now, who are all our siblings in Christ, and they're hidden in him. And they're called the great cloud of witnesses in Scripture. And with that all as a part of the ladder, he's just opening us up to the revelation. He's opening us up to the things that John saw while he was on the island of Patmos. He's opening us up to enter into the end times.
That's good. Very good. Because I just know that Lisa cares about this vision. This isn't the first time we heard about it. Chris has talked about it before. But he literally saw the ladder coming down right in here, I think. And all the activity. So it's a place of activity. It's a movement. That's why I don't think it's very helpful to think of the church as an organization, much more as an organism, because it changes. It breathes. It lives. It has a reason for being here. Every congregation does. Most congregations don't walk that out. They just are trying to maintain the presence of God here on earth through congregational worship and attendance. But the reality is, we're much more actively involved in what's going on the earth right now. The kingdom of God is alive. It's not static. So, Rick, why don't you come on up and just share a little bit, because, I mean, Rick has just been one of the people who have been here from the beginning. How do you think this relates to evangel? I mean, what's the advantage of us knowing about this ladder in our relationship with Jesus as far as where evangel's at right now?
I think to go off what Lisa said, and part of it, and then that we're hidden in Christ, is that the ladder's just a symbolic representation, and somewhat what's been established in the prayer room here, and we dwell in it too, in that it's a place of relationship with the Lord, but it's also a place of comfort and a hidden place for us in a way. It's like hiding in your prayer room, and it represents that for a lot of people that use it and consider it in that venue. And it's almost a representation. It's hard to get representation of being hidden in something, but the ladder representing that to me, that's where I was kind of thinking. You voiced it much better than I would have. But anyway, that's how I see it, is a place and a reminder of what we've, as a body, we've committed to establishing this prayer room. And Jeff talked about our history earlier, and a little bit for some of you who haven't been around. For a long time, or not a long time, but when they first started the House of Prayer, the leadership in this church, we were like, take it over, kick us out, we'll go somewhere else. And that's still our hearts. It hasn't become a reality, maybe, you know, whether it will or not. For 24/7, we're a fairly small community. We're not like Kansas City where there's 1.2 million people or whatever to facilitate something like that. But that's again our heart. And anyway, so.
Because this could all change drastically. I mean, one of the ideas behind this encountering God is on a continual basis is that he can change the direction that things go, and he can move and change. Like Chris, I think a little bit overplayed it, the dramatic nature of this transition from evenings to mornings, but it is more of a transition of our hearts to being open and available to people that are, that especially Community House and the emergency support shelter, because we're right next door to them, and we're a place where you can develop family kind of relationships with God, and we should be available to the Community House and emergency support shelter, but we can't because we meet at 5 o'clock at night. It makes it difficult for them to be involved in anything going over here, and it's not like we're looking for membership or anything like that. We just want to be faithful to steward this place. We want this to be a resting place. And it always has. Evangel has always been a rather transient group of people. There's a lot of people that have come and gone. And at first, that kind of bugged me. And it was like, what's wrong? Why isn't this working well? But I've begun to look at it completely the opposite. And I think that we're a huge blessing to people who need a place to rest. Just need a place where they can come and rest and not have to work and not have to strive, but they can just come here and rest. And so I think that's part of who we are and what we're becoming. So he said in here, on June 30th, I had a vision of a ladder in the sanctuary. It was hanging right over here. And he talked about John chapter 1, verses 49 through 51. And I think that part of what Chris was, what was that? It's important that it was in the place. You can just come up here. And anybody else who wants to come up here with me can.
It's really important when you look at a prophetic word, you look at the context around it. And so in the vision, there was a ladder, but it was in the prayer room, the sanctuary, in the area of communion. That's exactly what the ladder is. It's communion with the Lord. That's how you enter into the ladder. We all get this place where, yes, we're saved, but there's so much more than that. That's like, yes, we're married. Now we'll never, ever be in conversation or interact with each other again. Nice to know you. Glad that we sleep in the same bed together, but we don't ever touch each other. I mean, that's the reality of what that is all about. He's saying, commune with me, fellowship with me, become intimate with me, know my thoughts, spend time with me. I want to know you and be known by you. And that's the invitation of what he saw on that ladder, because he saw it in the place of the communion table.
Yeah, there were actually three things he talked about: communion, oil, or the ladder, oil, and communion. This is what he said about communion. It's a declaration of our agreement with God's word and the realities of the kingdom. When we eat the bread, we're agreeing with and recognizing what's true, that Jesus, the light, died for us, do this in remembrance of me when we drink the juice. And this, there's a reason why. And you can always second guess yourself and wonder why you did the things you did. But about 10 years ago, we decided we were going to come to the table at every gathering we have. So we do it every Sunday and every Tuesday, which some people in traditional churches think, why are you doing that? We feel like we have to do that, and you want to do that? Yeah, we do, because it's like coming home. Communion is like coming home. It's a place that we come home to. So it's a big part. So this whole communion idea of communing with God is a big deal. Now, let me just say, if there's anybody else who wants to get involved in this conversation, just come up and stand here, and that way I'll know. Jeff has something he wants to say.
Hi. So baptisms happen right over there as well. Yeah. And so I was thinking about, and then John in the New Testament, John was baptizing Jesus, and he says he saw the Holy Spirit like ascend upon him, and so it just made me think of, because I've been baptized over there, and every time when you come up, it's just like, it almost feels like there's like a spiritual ladder between you and God, and
very
so
cool.
And that, I don't know, that's what I thought of looking over there.
Cool. We're gonna have to figure out what we're gonna do with this ladder now. We could just suspend it from the ceiling. This is Patty.
Hi. I'm just new. I just came to the shelter yesterday, and I saw the flyer that had the picture of pancakes. So I rushed right over to help cook them, because I know how to cook pancakes, but they wouldn't let me. They had it all together, but they fed me. But I just want to thank you for being here, because I was really kind of at my wit's end yesterday. It was yesterday, Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
It was. And I was feeling very distraught and unloved yesterday morning. And I by the grace of God, found that shelter, and they took me in, and they gave me this big box of candy and a rose, and then it became
cool.
A really good Valentine's Day right then. And then they just spent a lot of time intaking my information and a lot of time loving me and just being there. You know, they didn't even know me, but they were there for me. And after I was done with that whole process, and they gave me a room with a nice room with a bathroom and a nice roommate, and by the time I laid my head down last night, I felt 99% better than I had in the morning. And then they showed me the comfort room, which they call this little quiet room where you can read away from TV and everybody else. And so I spent time in there, and I found your flyer in there. And so I decided to come here this morning. And I think a few other people from the shelter are here too. They were planning to come. But I just want to say that your stability and longevity here as a congregation that you just described, you know, for how long you've been together, is really a stabilizer for people that are shaky and wandering around just feeling like a round peg in a square hole, like they don't know where they fit. You make people feel really welcome and like they belong here. And I do believe that the body of Christ is a living organism, and that we each, like, even if we're totally, totally opposite from our spouse, like what I'm finding, I've been married 1 year to a friend of 34 years, but being married and being friends can be way different, I'm finding out. But even if you're like exact opposites, and you can't agree on anything, if you're both part of the body of Christ, it's like this cell and this cell, you're opposites, but you're both part of the body of Christ, and he died for you both, and he'll use you both, and he loves you both.
Amen.
So
that's really cool. Thank you, Patty. Yes.
I was particularly struck by the fact that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And I just want to read you, Jacob was a deceiver. He'd done a lot of wrong things. He was kind of bad in a lot of ways. But he had this wrestling match with the Lord, and it says, I will not let you go, Lord, unless you bless me. "What is your name?" the man asked. This is the angel of the Lord. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "It is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have won." And I think the thing that's so cool about that is that we have this beautiful exchange with Jesus when we come to him. We give him our old man, and he gives us himself. And so we take off our old man, and we become that new man. But it's still a struggle. And it's still, I mean, we do. We have to fight with our flesh, just like Jacob, all the time. And who wins? God always wins, because he has us in his hands. And he always overcomes that, if we'll contend with him. And I think that's just the beautiful picture of what's happening here, that has happened with us, is that we've had to contend to be where we're at today with the Lord, because did we really want this blessing? We had to go after it. And he's given us a huge blessing, not just buildings and places, but people. And so I am just so grateful. When I look around the room this morning, I am just so grateful that we're all gathered here today. I'm just so blessed, because I think, wow, we're a people that's not many, but we've come a long way, you guys. This is huge. When in the scope of things, our hearts have really gotten healed and stronger. We've gotten more character of the Lord than we've ever had before. And here we stand, here we sit today as God's people, as God's children in this place. And I just think, being here in the mornings, Jeff, this is significant to the body of Christ, that we're meeting and praying and believing for this city together in the mornings now, when everybody else is meeting in their churches. I just think that there's something huge about that. Amen.
That's good. That's good. So let me ask you a question. So there's a ladder, and we know what's on the bottom side of the ladder, right? What? Us. Humans. And we, and like Lisa was sharing, Jesus is the ladder. He's the connection between us and what? God? Heaven? Courts of heaven? So there's access. So part of what he's talking about when he's talking about a ladder is that God has provided us access to something that a lot of people don't want or care about. But one of the things I feel like he's saying to us is you care about this. You care about what's happening, not just on earth, and you love Jesus, but you're beginning to care about what's going on in there too, in heaven or in the courts of heaven. The picture I always have of what's above this ladder is Revelation 4 and 5, the throne room of God, where all this stuff is happening. There's angels and living creatures and flaming things and rainbows and colors and a throne and a lamb that looks like it was slain. And I mean, there's a lot going on up there. And so one of the things I feel like God's giving us is the connection to himself at a whole different level than we've really wanted before. Because we're pretty content just being in this place where we can actually get along with each other and sing some songs and learn some stuff when we gather together for church. But if we have an access to what's going on in the courtrooms of God, that kind of empowers things at a whole different level, doesn't it? It seems to me, and I'm not saying that we're in any way different from any other congregation. Any congregation in the city could have this. It's available to anybody. But what God was saying, I think, through what Chris shared this morning is that this ladder gives us access, or grants us access to some deeper things of God that we shouldn't be afraid of. We shouldn't, like, put them in a trophy case, but we shouldn't be afraid to explore what is going on in the midst of us with this access to heaven that is delightful and beautiful and glorious in a lot of ways. Right? Right, Susan? Is there something stirring in you? You want to share? Come on up. Come on up, Renee. Come on up, Susan. Jim, you want to come up? You look like you're stewing with some stuff.
Well, I just haven't been able to get this out of my mind, but Chris talked about the heart slashed open, blood coming out. Was I the only one that heard that? Okay, and I know that there are a multitude of people in here who are medically trained. The human heart, the Lord speaks to us in the physical, so we understand in the spiritual, correct? Yeah. Well, if a human being has a heart that's slashed open, blood coming out, they're in pretty serious condition, right? Maybe could possibly die, correct? Am I correct about that? I mean, it's not, they're going to rip open the outer to stitch it up and they're going to live. I mean, if that heart is bleeding, that's a concerning, when you're in that highest place of care, what's that called? Intensive care, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so that's huge. That's huge. I mean, you're in a, Patty, you're in a, sounds like your heart is slashed open and blood's coming out. And who can heal that? Yeah. Who can mend that? Who can, I mean, it's everything that God keeps us alive. It isn't about what we can do. It's about what he can do in us. It's his covering. And I just had to comment on
that.
I want to thank you, the young people, for the worship this morning. And Jeff, I have to say that I've heard several people talking about the anointing when you play, and it just opens up. I'm not kidding. These pictures, when I'm sitting there listening, these pictures just open up, and I'll just share one from this morning. And you guys, I came in, you guys were playing, and I'm just sit down immediately. I'm writing as I'm thinking and praying this out. You are my God and my delight. My life is washed in your blood, your mighty blood. My heart is held in your hand, your mighty hand. All things in my life are kept by your grace, your mighty grace. And I am face to face with your love, your mighty love. And then I had this picture in the last song you guys were doing. And again, you start just, you know, embellishing, Jeff, what you do. And I'm all of a sudden, I'm up that ladder, and you don't have to think it. I mean, you just think it, and you're there. You're right there, standing before your throne. The angels are just flying for joy, and the light is singing where he is. All things are resting on a floor, and they're standing pillars of incorruptible essence of who he is. I mean, it's really hard to describe, so you're just, you know, what words can I use to tell what I'm seeing here? And your creative presence is making all things new every moment. And when Lisa was talking about the communion and the intimacy of it, I remembered, there might be one person here that I shared this once before. You might be the one that didn't hear it, but I want to share it with you. I was lying in my bed at night, and the presence of Jesus just overwhelmed me in the middle of the night. And I knew he wanted to give me two things. And so I hold out my hands. I was seeing in my imagination, but it was so real to me. So in one hand, he called it a pearl of great price. And the other hand, he put the never-ending passion for the Lord. And so I'm going, oh, this is so cool. And I just tighten my fist and hold them to my chest, and I was afraid to open my hand that I would lose them. And he said, okay, now I want you to eat the pearl of great price. So I put it up to my mouth and I swallowed. And then he said, now take the other hand with the never-ending passion for the Lord and put it over your heart and then press it in. And I felt his hand over mine pressing that never-ending passion for the Lord into my heart. And the next day I came here and they, like always, did communion. And I thought, I just had communion with Jesus last night. So it has a whole different, it has a whole new meaning to me when I take communion here.
Wow, that's cool. Jim, very good. Too.
Thank
so
you.
So Jim, explain that whole thing going up and down the ladder.
Mercy.
Yes, yes, mercy. How did Paul say it? Pressing on. Not that I have already attained it, but I keep pressing in. I'm at that pressing in stage. Very good. You know? Oh, you caught me off guard. I've started reading a book. What's the book, honey? By Ian. And so kind of trying to get... I don't want to look totally stupid when Justin's here, but I think I'm going to be. But that's okay. That's okay, because it's not by mind. And for me, what this represents is our connection heart to heart. It's in the spirit. You know, it's not by might or mind or whatever it says, but it's by the Spirit of God. You know, I'm sorry, Lord, I butchered that one up. But that's what I think. And I am, you know, I don't even think I've made it to the base of the ladder yet, but I'm headed that direction. And I think my sense is that when we get there and when we begin to interact with that ladder and ascending and descending, that the kingdom of heaven, that it will release. Amen. And we'll move in the kingdom of heaven, because it is far beyond the kingdom of the earth. Amen. So that's that. I'm delighted to see on that ladder a light. Yeah. Because last week, since that was the last time that we met at night, officially, it was like the beginning of a transition for me, and I think for Evangel. Yeah. And now we're meeting in the day, and this is from Matthew 5:16 or 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. God, you can't see through tears even with glasses. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. And so, I mean, my... I don't understand that all, and bless God, I don't have to. But I think that there is for us this transition that we, you know, we met sort of under the cover of darkness. And not that anything bad was happening there. That's just how it clicked in my head. You know, it says, you know, we have the mind of Christ. If any of this stuff sounds like it's from the mind of Kangas, you can throw it out. So anyway, but there was just that transition that now we have moved to the light, to the day, and let our light shine. Let us do things that the people around us can see God's good works and glorify him. So that's kind of the path that I see that we're going. And Patty, thank you so much for coming up and sharing. You know, yeah, I'm glad you are. Yeah, yeah.
But we wouldn't have known unless you shared.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. That. Yeah.
That's cool.
Amen.
This is not a surprise to me because I've been living this story. I wrestled with man and God just like Jacob. And I've been wrestling with man and God for quite a while. And I'm not letting go until I see his blessings. Amen. I'm hanging on. Because there are blessings for us as a congregation, as individuals, and our community. Amen. And the ladder, the light. We have this dark path, but we have a choice. We can go to the higher path. Amen. The higher path leads us to that ladder where the angels are hanging out. Where we can go and we can hang on that ladder and we can see the throne room. And then we go into the throne room and we pray at the feet of Jesus and our Heavenly Father down onto all this stuff that's going on. So we have ISIS. We have the enemy within. We have our own enemies, as God is doing the Esther purification within us and removing the dross. Everything right now, he's getting prepared for the new time. You preached it. He's preparing us for a bigger battle. And the church is instrumental right now in getting their hearts right. What God wants is his kingdom on earth. He wants his kingdom here. We have places where God has his kingdom on earth. I think one of them's CPC. I think one of them's Evangel. I think he wants that within all of us. He wants us to be so filled with the kingdom that we can walk into Fred Meyer's and have a lady start crying and put her head on my shoulder because she needed a touch of God with skin on. Everybody is broken. Everybody is hurting. This is a hurting world, folks. We're crying on the inside, but we look pretty good on the outside. But what we can do is not only can we go into that throne room and pray with authority, but we could also climb up that ladder and we can hang out on a hammock on the side of that ladder where God gives us his grace and his glory and his peace beyond human understanding, because it's hurting, folks. It's a hurting world. And if we don't have a real God that loves us beyond anything we can imagine, we aren't going to make it. Because we need him. We need that throne room. But you know what? We need each other.
She's worried about you, Wayne.
No, it was actually, we were talking about the ladder earlier, and as I was just, I think I'm so glad that a couple people have mentioned the kingdom in all this. I just want to take a minute and read a few of the verses that came before verses 49 through 51. Starting in verse 43, John's Gospel says, "The next day, Jesus desired and decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, 'Join me as my attendant and follow me.' Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, of the same city as Andrew and Peter. Philip, he sought out for and found Nathanael and said, 'We have discovered the one Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus from Nazareth, the legal son of Joseph.' Nathanael answered him." Now, he goes to him and tells him, "We've found him." And Nathanael says, "You know, Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." They're seeking. That you don't say, "Hey, I found something," if you haven't been seeking it. They were seeking the Savior. They were seeking the Messiah. Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him and said concerning him, "See, here is an Israelite indeed, a true descendant of Jacob, in whom there is no guile, nor deceit, nor falsehood, nor duplicity." Nathanael said to him, well, by the way, what an amazing thing to have Jesus say about you, right? Yeah. Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me? How do you know these things about me?" Jesus said, "Before ever Philip called you, when you were still under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael said, "Teacher." And he responded back, Nathanael says, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. That's what evangel means. It means to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. Jesus replied, "Because I said to you, I saw you beneath the tree, do you believe in and rely on me? You shall see greater things than this." Then he said to him, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you all, that you shall see heaven opened up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." When you can get on a ladder or when you can see angels moving back and forth between the king, between heaven and earth, it means the kingdom is very near.
That's cool.
Amen. If the kingdom were so far away that the angels disappeared as they went out of sight to kingdom, and then you could see them when they were coming back, it would mean something totally different. Having the kingdom in our midst, having the kingdom so close that you can literally see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man from heaven to earth. I've been, I can't tell you how many churches, and most of you are the same as me, but I don't know how many churches you may have been in your life. I've been in lots of them. I've been members of several. I love them all. Matter of fact, I feel like I could walk into any church in this community and feel at home, because it's all God's children. But I can tell you that when I'm here at Evangel, I know that the kingdom is near. Sometimes against my will, I can feel that the kingdom is near. Sometimes it makes me feel really secure and really blessed, and sometimes it makes me feel really uncomfortable. But the bottom line is, I know when I walk in these doors that the kingdom is near. It's because we, and each one of us, with that being hidden in Christ and having that kingdom operating inside of us, we take that kingdom with us wherever we go. We interact with that kingdom at all times, daytime, nighttime, when you're working, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you're visiting, when you're watching television, when you're meeting with friends, when you're daydreaming, whenever. That kingdom is inside you. The kingdom is near to you. And as I saw those words, it says, yeah, you've done all these things. Jesus says, I see what kind of a man you are. And I see that you've been seeking me. And I see that you are proclaiming me as the Christ. I'll tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see something more amazing than that. You're going to see that the kingdom is so close to where you are. You're going to see the kingdom of being so close to us that you'll be able to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Amen. Okay, come on up. You were one of those little kids.
Yeah, I was. The thought of the angels ascending and descending, they're on tasks, I would imagine, you know. So if we were able to even, you know, can you imagine being maybe on one rung and these angels would be walking by you and looking at you on their way to go do things around the world? Because that's what they're doing, right? I mean, yeah. They're being sent out to do different things, like...
Yeah. That's good.
And I don't think we're going to spend leisure time on the ladder. Come on up, Tracy. So this is the last one.
Yeah, and it's quick.
You do know that there are 20 other people in the room who could do this all day long. Part of that is, I mean, as a leader in the church, that is so encouraging to know that there are people who think. You guys... think about this stuff. You know what you believe. You're processing your belief system in a way that you can articulate it. I just want to say, yay team. I mean, it's so cool that you have developed a message. And it isn't, you need to go to my church, but this is the Jesus I know. That message is really, and it's probably the first time I've really seen it like Wayne was talking about. Evangel means the gospel proclaimed. When you see those angels with trumpets over the manger scene, blowing those trumpets, What comes out of the end, that's the evangel. The message is the evangel, proclaiming that he is who he is. So I just want to say that you're doing good. Keep it up. Keep learning. Keep listening. Keep articulating the things that are on your heart, because you're going to change the world. Evangelism. I'm not going to. You're going to change the world.
Good. Okay. This was really quick. I was, everybody was having breakfast, and I was standing back, and I was just looking at everybody, and they're just all really fresh and in the morning and visiting. It was neat. In fact, I called Nina over and said, look, across here. Anyway, then in worship, the first set of worship, I walked past Kevin, and he said, man, I'm awake. This feels good. I like this. And I went back to my seat, and I started worshiping, and I heard the Lord say, this is a fresh new season I'm giving evangel. And the fresh really stood out. And I go, fresh? Like fresh like how? And he's like, I'm pouring out my freshness. And I felt like he was just saying, I'm giving you fresh manna. I'm giving you fresh oil. I'm giving you my freshness of who I am. In other words, he is waking us up, and he's giving us the freshness of the new things he wants to give us, the new things he wants to reveal to us. And it was fresh. And so it's a fresh new season. It's not that the old was bad. In fact, it was amazing. And it got us to where we're at right now. But now he's pouring out his freshness on us.
On us, and apparently the women's restrooms. Yes. In the words of my mentor, Mike Bickle, let's stand. And just snuggle up to somebody. If you're by yourself, move over closer to somebody and just grab their hand or get connected. No, I just was kidding about the whole snuggle thing. But we don't need that. Thank you very much. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are in our midst. Thank you for being the one that we gather to meet. You're the reason why we're here. And you've done a delightful work in us today in calling us back to what's most important, which is you, your presence, your power, your glory, and the love that you have for us that we can share with each other. And so we pray that today, as we walk out of this building at noon, which seems totally strange, and have the whole rest of the day in front of us, Lord, may we continually look back to this moment and remember how faithful you are, how you've loved us when we didn't even love ourselves, and you've made a way for us when we couldn't see a way. And as we look forward to the future, Lord, we're so excited about the adventure we're on. Take us where you want us to go and empower us to do the things that are most important to you, we pray. Amen.